As a matter of fact, there was one time when I was about 9 or 10 years old. He was actually home on a Saturday, which never happened. He worked a lot. And 9 or 10 years old, he was home on a Saturday, and I was really excited being 9 or 10 because Dad was never home. And he was in the bedroom, and I came running up to him, and I said, "Hey, Dad, what are you doing?" And apparently he was on the phone, and he was on the phone with his mistress. And apparently I interrupted the conversation and was abruptly told to get the F out of here. I'm on the effing phone. Don't ever do that again. So that's Father of the Year right there. He, of course, constantly fought with my mother, sometimes till 4 or 5 in the morning. Cops were called. We moved a lot because he couldn't keep a job. And then when my parents got a divorce, I was told we didn't have enough money when I was over at his house for a lot of food. If I was sick, I had to wait to go back to my mom's house because he didn't have enough money for cold medicine. Never paid a dime in child support, and he had a lot of countless other issues and problems. And finally, at the age of 56, he passed away from prostate cancer when I was 17. All right. Happy Father's Day, guys. Good night. Have a good one. That's my story. No. No, but today's point isn't to go off about how terrible my dad was. Because here's the thing. You could have had the best dad in the world, right? Greatest father, wonderful person. You could have been hearing my story and being like, wow, I'm really glad I didn't have to go through all that stuff. But here's the thing. Human fathers will make mistakes. Your father, no matter how great he was, will still have problems. He will still make mistakes. He will still have issues. There will be times when he's not the best. Because the ultimate goal is the fact that there's only one perfect father. We just sang about that. There's only one perfect holy father that no man on earth, no matter how great or wonderful he is, could ever measure up to him. He is the one source that we're supposed to rely on. So here's the thing, and I used to do this when I was a youth pastor. You know, Father's Day would come along, and I would always show this particular passage. Let's see if it works this time. Yay! Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well and pleasing to the Lord. At this point, this may come as a shock to you. The teenagers would not say amen, hallelujah. They would roll their eyes, and they would start shutting me down. Great. We're going to be told all over again that we got to obey our parents. We got to blah, blah, blah. But I would tell them, I said, you know, here's the thing. You're human, so God knew that you were going to make mistakes. You were going to forget about this. And you were going to mess up at times. And unless, you know, your parents are telling you to murder somebody or persecute you for your faith, and no, your parents telling you to do your homework or clean your room is not persecution. I hate to tell you that. But you need to obey your parents. But parents love this part. Obey your kid, obey your parents. Yeah, kids, you got to listen to what I tell you. But there's another part to this. And it's specifically for fathers. Colossians 3:21. See if it'll work. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Fathers have a command. Don't discourage your children. Don't be overly harsh with them, because God knows that fathers are human and they're going to mess up, and he needed them to remember to not be overly harsh and mess your children up. So again, even if you've heard my story and thinking, oh, you think that's bad, that's nothing compared to my dad. My dad was the worst. Again, there's no perfect father except God alone, because no one can compare to him. Your father may have made mistakes. He may have made some big ones. He may have done some really bad things. But guess what? This is something that I had to learn. Your father had issues and problems of his own. He just may have not dealt with them properly. Let's take a look at my dad again. Let's take a look at him. Let's see if I can get that picture up. You may have to switch this for me, sir. There he is. That's my dad in the army right there. Yeah, he did some pretty terrible things. He made a lot of mistakes. But here's some things that I didn't initially tell you when I first showed you the first picture. His own dad died of tuberculosis when he was only 13. He didn't have a great relationship with him either. He didn't really talk about it a whole lot. But there was one time that he muttered something about his father chaining him up in the basement and something about cigarette burns. He had a terrible relationship with his mother his entire life. As a matter of fact, from what I gathered, when he was born, his mother actually wanted a girl and was so upset that he was a boy that she would dress him up in girl's clothes through most of his childhood. And that scarred him for the rest of his life extremely deeply. He had an older brother who was a test pilot in the military and unfortunately lost his life testing a plane, and they never found his body, only the tail of the wing. He had multiple run-ins with the law, found himself in jail quite a few times until the judge finally said, "Army or rot in jail for the last time," at which point he said, "Sir, yes, sir." And that was one of the best things that actually happened to him. But clearly, this man had a lot of major issues. He struggled with things for the rest of his life. His issues caused him to do things and make decisions that weren't the best and even caused more problems and pain all in themselves. Look at Proverbs 29:6. By transgression, an evil man is snared, but the righteous sings and rejoices. Here's the deal. My father was no better or worse than I was, and vice versa. I could have ended up exactly like him. Because he was trying to cope with his own stuff. He was trying to deal with it as best he could. But of course, his own way was already skewed. It was already twisted. It was already messed up. And it made things a whole lot worse. And for a time, I did the exact same thing. I said and did things I wasn't proud of. I took drugs and drank and tried to hide from my pain and my problems. I did things my own way and tried to cope with it as best I possibly could. And spoilers, it didn't work. It was awful. I made mistakes which made things much, much worse and so on and so forth, just like he did. I could have wrecked my life just like him. I could have had 2 failed marriages, 5 kids that really didn't think too highly of me. The only difference, there's just one difference between my father and myself. I said yes to Jesus. And that's it. Now, I'm not the brightest crayon in the box, but that was the smartest decision I ever made. On top of that, when I became a Christian, Jesus specifically led me to start actively seeking help for my own problems. I sought out people I trusted. I started opening up to them. One of my biggest problems with my father was he didn't talk about it. He kept everything inside and shut up. But I started finding people. God even sent me to a Christian therapist in a secular setting. I found it with the one Christian therapist that we prayed together with. And again, I'm all for therapy. Go to therapy if you need it. So men, I'm going to ask you this question. How you doing? You guys okay? What's the typical answer? I'm all right. I'm good. Everything's good. Here, I want you to hear some statistics. Nearly 1 in 10 men experience some form of depression or anxiety, but less than half of those men will seek treatment. In 2020, men died of suicide almost 4 times more than women. Though men experience a higher rate of suicide, they are less likely to seek help and prone to suffer alone. About 6 out of every 10 men experience at least 1 trauma in their entire life. PTSD can develop weeks, months, or even years after an experienced trauma and can cause a person to relive that traumatic event, experience nightmares, flashbacks, and a number of other problems and symptoms that interfere with everyday life. Men are 2 times more likely to binge drink than women, and 3 times as likely to die as a consequence of alcohol abuse. 49% of men feel more depressed than they admit to people in their lives. A survey showed that more than 1,000 men commissioned by the Today Show revealed the truth that many assume. Men are less likely to voice struggles with mental illness and even thoughts of suicide. So again, men, how you doing? What's the usual answer? I'm all right. It's a cool. I'm fine. I'm hanging in there. No matter what's going on, that's the go-to answer, right? I'm cool. I'm good. You know what makes it even worse is when you hear a guy, you go, hey, how you doing? He goes, living the dream. That's bad. You know what's even worse than that? If you go to a guy and you say, hey, how's it going? What's going on, man? And they go, it is what it is. That man's life is falling apart, typically. If they answer that, then there is a serious problem. But no matter what, men usually, we don't say anything. We have the stigma in society that real men suffer in silence. You just got to man up and deal with it, right? Suck it up. You don't want to be a burden to anybody. Not especially to those who are close to you. They got enough problems of their own. Besides, they're looking to me to provide for them. So I better keep it together, right? Or what are you going to do about it? Cry? You got to walk it off. Shove it down into an ulcer. Don't think about it anymore. Just keep going. Well, here's the deal. All 3 of those statements today are filthy lies straight from the pit of hell. It may come as a shock to you, but our society can go far against biblical principles that we believers should be following. Silence kills. And if you're adopted into society's idea of how a man is supposed to be to deal with his problems, then get rid of it. Throw it away. Men, you're not supposed to go this alone. First of all, what about God? You trust in him. Why not go to him with your issues? 1 Peter 5, 6-7. Again, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourselves. When you talk about your issues, sometimes you have to get rid of the pride that I can deal with this. Humble yourselves before God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he cares about you. Now, I don't know about you, and again, I'm not that smart, but when I read that part, it doesn't say, cast all your cares on him, for he cares about you. Well, except if you're a guy, then suck it up, Sally. Just deal with it. Quit being a baby and shut up and go do your thing. There's no part in 1 Peter that says that. It says he cares for you, period. If you had a terrible father, then guess what? God is not him. He actually cares about you. He's not going to tell you to F off because he's on the phone with his mistress. There's no need to be afraid. God has made promises to us, and he will keep them. If he says he cares for you and he will be with you, then he is the only one you can rely on 100%. Trust and believe that he will be there with you. Isaiah 41:10. See if this works. There it goes. Fear not, for I am with you. Do not be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. Not only that, you know, that would be enough, but God has designed the church to be together, to take care of each other. Look at Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, again, I know I've mentioned this verse a couple of times, but I think it's one of the things that we severely lack in our own church today within America. Again, we have this weird idea that we have to come to church and hide our problems together. You got to put that happy mask on, right? You have to pretend like nothing's wrong. You come into church and someone says, oh, how are you? And you say, I'm just so blessed. Isn't God amazing? Isn't God wonderful? I have to pretend and I have to be a Christian and I have to say that I love God. Meanwhile, you probably cried your eyes out in the car before you came in here because you've had a problem. You have issues. And sometimes, you know, I get it. Within the church and everywhere else in life, there's been moments where you've opened up to someone and they've just completely let you down. They've walked away from you. They've said things that made things worse. And you've made yourself into your head saying, I'm never, ever going to do that again. I get it. Again, people are the ones that you can't trust. In the Bible, it never says to trust people. It only says to trust God. You're supposed to love people. Use discernment. There's nothing wrong with that. Find someone you can trust and that you're comfortable with to a certain extent, but understand that they are human. But we still need to bear each other's burdens. It's so important that Paul says that this fulfills the law of Christ. It is that important. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't if or maybe. This is bear with one another. You fulfill the law of Christ, the whole law of Christ in taking care of each other in this capacity. There is no option. So not only are you supposed to be willing to open up about your own burdens, you're supposed to be willing to listen to each other's burdens as well. Because here's how God designed it, and here's how it works. If you're looking out for someone else's needs and they're looking out for your needs, then guess what? Everybody's needs are being met. If you're only looking out for your needs and you're not thinking about anybody else's, then somebody else's needs are not being met, and vice versa. God has designed this so that we're in this together. So again, going back to my father, the biggest mistake he ever made was he continued the cycle. He had a lot of things bad happen to him, and in turn, he allowed his flesh and his past to rule over him. Everything he did, everything he thought was based on those two things, his flesh and his past. For a time, again, I was ruled by the same two things and almost continued the same exact cycle. But again, thanks be to God because Jesus Christ saved me from that cycle and put me on a new path. And he can do the same exact thing for you. Men, your flesh, your past, your pain, your mistakes do not define you. Your identity is not in who you used to be. It is now rooted in Christ Jesus alone. Your parents don't define you. Your past doesn't define you. Your background doesn't define you. Jesus alone defines you. John 1, 12 through 13. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Again, even if your parents, even if your father had a different idea about you when you were born, if you were a mistake, or you were supposed to do something, or you were supposed to fix your parents' marriage, that doesn't define you. You are here because God said you need to be here. No matter what your earthly parents decided, stop letting the things that have passed away, that have been wiped completely out by Jesus Christ's blood, to rule over you anymore. God says in his word that before us, he lays aside the blessings if we obey him or curses if we walk away. We can choose to continue to listen and obey that destructive path. You can do that. It's going to tear you up. I tried it. It's awful. Or you can have the blessings of listening to his voice, obeying his ways, and from personal experience, I highly recommend that one before the other one. Trust me, it's a lot less messier. You need to be renewed in him. Change your mind in him and find peace. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Change your habits. Change the voice that you listen to. Let God embrace you as his own. One of the things that my Christian therapist says, and I'm sure we've probably heard this, is you have to change the tape out of your head. Get rid of the old tape. You know, the tape that my dad's voice in there that told me to F off, who wasn't there for me, who didn't have enough money for this, who was constantly gone. Not only did I have to get it out of my head, but I had to throw it away. I don't want to pick that back up and try to put it back in my head. I have to pick the tape where God says, you are my child. I died for you because I care for you, and I'm not going to leave you. If you had a wonderful earthly father, then you should rejoice because you got a very small glimpse of how great God the Father is. If you didn't or don't have a great earthly father, then know God is nothing like him. Take a leap of faith and allow him to show you what a real father can be. Again, father was a dirty word for me. I didn't want a dad because a dad meant pain and hurt and problems. I had to realize that God is not like my father. I had to choose to let him embrace me as a son. Psalm 68:5-6. He's a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows. Is God in his holy habitation? God sends the solitary in families, and he brings out those who are bound into prosperity. This is our God. Just because you may not be important to certain people does not mean you're not important to him. So again, men, this is the usual part in a Father's Day sermon where the pastor gets up and tells you, all right, you guys got to be godly men. You guys got to do your duty. You guys go out there and be warriors for Jesus, fight for your families and so on. That's great. That's wonderful. But I wanted to leave you guys with something else. In light of what we talked about, I want you to really listen to these three things. First of all, you are extraordinarily made by your Creator. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. You are loved and created by your God. Secondly, you are a royal child and heir to the King of the universe. Galatians 4:6-7. And because you are sons, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are his son. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Again, you have, through Jesus Christ, such an intimate relationship with God that you call him Abba, Daddy, Dad. That is who you are. You are a son of God. Again, I could be the son of Joseph Peter Caramonte, and that's not fun. I would have loved to see him continue to live and hopefully accept Christ, and maybe we could have had a better relationship. But being the son of Joseph Peter Caramonte is not a fun, happy place to be. But being the son of the living God, even when things are bad, I would rather have that than the best day being the son of Joseph. God is your father. You are his son. And thirdly, God is not going anywhere. And the Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. And so here's the thing. You know, usually you get a commandment of some kind. So this is the command that I'm going to leave you guys with. Men, you want to be a real man? Love Jesus. because he loves you and he cares for you. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. Again, we don't have to earn it. If we could have earned God's love, then why did Jesus have to die? God created you and designed you and said, not only have I created you, but I want you back in a relationship with me, so I'm willing to give up my only begotten son for you. That is how much God loves you. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to try to get his attention. You don't have to try to run up at him. You don't have to try to hope that he's not busy or hope he's in a good mood for you to come to him. You can come to him all the time. Now, again, we're going to have the worship team come up. We're going to have our normal time of prayer and worship and all that stuff. If you want prayer, if you just want to worship, you just want to contemplate things, that's perfectly fine. The only thing we're not doing is we're not doing hospitality today. Go be with your dads if you have a particular relationship with your dad or your father figure or whatever. We want you to spend time with your father. But there's a phrase that really, really kind of sticks with me. And I heard this, and that's why Pastor Daniel is in the back. A man will only ever receive flowers one time at his funeral. It's the only time a man ever gets flowers. So along with the invitations, we got invitations for the men's breakfast. Men, this coming Saturday, come and enjoy some good food. But we wanted to give you also a token to remind you as you leave here today that you are in fact a beloved son of Jesus Christ. You are the beloved son of the living God through Christ. Now again, man, I know we're going to be holding on to flowers. Don't give this to your wife. Don't give this to your daughter. Put it in your lapel. This is for you to let you know that God loves you. And remember, you are his and no one else's. Amen? All right. Let's pray. Holy Father, we do thank you for the ability to be your children through Christ Jesus. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your love. I ask you to please be with all the men in this room. I ask you to help them to remember that you love them, that you love them so much that you died on the cross for them, that you defeated death and rose from the dead, and now today you intercede on our behalf. You don't call us slaves. You don't call us worthless. You don't call us anything else other than your son and heir. We thank you, Father, for that position through Jesus Christ. And we praise and honor you and glorify you as the one good Father. In Jesus' holy name, amen.